It's lovely to have some guys from Lingleville here tonight, a couple from McKinney, some visitors, and our regular Lingleville guys. Thank you for being here. I was getting a little worried when I was looking up and we're into our first and second song. Sean hasn't shown up yet. All right. So first of all, if you didn't get a bulletin, please raise your hand. Travis is going to run around here and make sure y'all get one. Or Andrew. I guess they took care of getting the right people to do it. All right. If you don't have a Bible or a bulletin and you want one, raise your hand. There'll be some fill in the blanks. Not very many of them, but there's a lot of scripture tonight, and it's all in the bulletin too. While they're handing those out, I want to make an announcement that next week we will be setting up the baptistry right back here in the back. Yep. If you are thinking about it or would like to know more about baptism or just want to get wet and you don't know what it's all about, talk to me or Matthew or John. Raise your hands, guys, so they know who I'm talking about. We can talk you through that and help you make that decision. And we will have that set up tomorrow night. Next week, not tomorrow night. We are already baptizing Kathleen Shearer. I guess that's how you say her last name. Kathleen, many of you might know her from the Louisville AA group. And so she had contacted me earlier this week and requested to be baptized. And so we like to give that opportunity to everyone once we set the baptistry up. And so next week. So what about the end of that last song? Jesus loves me. Yep. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. How many of us grew up in church or have heard that? That was something that has been saying to me since I was a little baby. And the question that I always had was where? The Bible tells me so, but where? You know, I can hear that people tell me, Jesus loves you. But I want to know where. Where in the Bible does it say? And it starts with God. 1 John 3:1 says, the Father has loved us so much that we are called his children. And see, I understand that. Now that I have children, I understand that. I understand the love that I can have for my child. They can't do anything to cause me not to love them. They're not going to be able to do that. I understand that verse. In Revelation 1:5, it says, and from Jesus Christ, Jesus is the faithful witness, the first among us, those raised from the dead. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the one who loves us, who made us free from our sin with the blood of his death. Okay, so it says he loves us and he died for us also. 2 Timothy 1:13, 1 Timothy 1:14, Ephesians 5:25, Galatians 20, all say the same thing. He loves us. Romans 8:37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. It goes on and on. You know, I don't write a sermon without using Google, so I Googled it. Me and Travis was driving along there. I said, Google this, man, and it comes up with some kind of 300 and, I don't know, a large number that it says this many times in the Bible that he loves us. Then you hear Jesus loves us unconditionally. He loves us unconditionally. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And guess what? You're still sinners. Now. In your addiction. He loved you. When you lie, he loves you. When you cheat, He loves you when you steal from one another. He loves you. When you give somebody the bird at the red light because they wouldn't get out of your way, he loves you. Nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:39, nothing above us, nothing below us, nor anything else in the whole world will ever be able to separate us from the love of God. That is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from his love. So what causes us to not respond? What causes us to respond? See, God gave us this thing called free will. I think that's a fill in the blank. You are free to walk away from his love, or you're free to love him back. Free will. So how do we love him back? John 14:21 says, those who know my commands and obey them are the ones who love me, and my Father will love those who love me. I will love them and will show myself to them. I underline show myself to them. I think that's the key. See, I've talked about all the different things. He loves us in our sin. But does he show himself to you then? I know that whenever I was deep in sin, he wasn't around. Obviously, he was around because I wouldn't be here if he wasn't. But I didn't reveal himself to me. I didn't recognize the things that he was doing in my life. I believe that's the key. When you keep his commands, he will reveal himself to you. What are the commands? See, whenever I think, and I read that scripture, I said, we keep his commands. I automatically go to the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. I can probably name you a couple without looking them up. I don't know his commands. And then in the Old Testament law, thousands of commands, thousands of laws, thousands of rules. Is that what he's talking about? Those who know my commands and obey them are the ones who love me? Is he talking about knowing by heart the Ten Commandments and living those out? Knowing all the Leviticus law and living that out? I hope not. I hope not. Matthew 22:34 sums it up for us. When the Pharisees learned that the Sadducees could not argue with Jesus' answers to them, the Pharisees met together. One Pharisee, who was an expert on the law of Moses, asked Jesus this question to test him. Teacher, which command in the law is most important? Jesus answered, love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and most important commandment. And the second is like it, like the first. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. All the law, all the writings of all the prophets depend on these two commands. That's all you have to know. That is all you have to know. Love God. Love Jesus with everything you got. And you're not going to get it perfect. You're not going to get it perfect. Amen. But do your best to love him with everything you got. Then love other people with everything you got. And you're not going to do your best. There's going to be some people that irritate you. Love them anyway. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus showed his love for others by blessing and serving the poor, the sick, and the distressed. He told his disciples, this is my command, that you must love each other as I have loved you. All the people will know that you are my followers if you love each other. John 13:34. But you might say, I've been hurt by people. People hurt me. You might even say, I've been hurt by Jesus. I want you to write this down. No, I don't even think you have to write this down. I think it's just flat in the bulletin. I didn't want to leave it up to you to write down. I want you to hear me. If you've been hurt, that was not Jesus. Amen. It was knocking some socks off here. If you've been hurt, that was not Jesus. That was man. That was the enemy. See, I hurt my wife. There was times that I didn't come home for weeks at a time. I didn't treat her right. That was not Jesus. That was not Jesus. Jesus was nowhere around with me. I hurt my children. When you find out that your little kids, praise God that they were so small, but they were old enough to know that dad wasn't around. When they ask their mom, is dad coming home? And she has to give them an answer like she doesn't know. I hurt them. I hurt my parents. My mom, she worked at a hospital, same hospital Trina works at, and she was she worked as a secretary there. And it was close to the ER where the ambulances came in. And she told me that every single time an ambulance would come in, her anxiety would go up because she'd be afraid I was in it. I hurt her. The enemy hurt her. My grandmother, I used her. I lived in her house during my addiction and didn't care. I would go in her backyard and use. And I know she knew, but she wouldn't put me and my family out. That was not Jesus. That's not Jesus. And I know that there's a lot of stories just like that. And people get out here in the world and they have these struggles and they have these bad things happen and they turn their back on God and they turn their back on Jesus and say, he's never done nothing for me. That wasn't Jesus. There is another force that roams this earth and he is ready to devour you. If you're not running towards Jesus, where are you at? So how do we overcome these things when people hurt us? I've established that it's not Jesus that's doing that. It's the enemy. It's man. It's on our own free will that we talked about earlier. We're working in our own free will. We're not turning our will and our lives over to the care of God. That's for sure when all that's going on. So how do we get over that when that hurt is on us? On page 67 in the big book, it says, we ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. A person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man. How can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. Thy will be done. We avoid retaliation or argument. We wouldn't treat sick people that way. If we do, we destroy our chances of being helpful. We cannot be helpful to all people, but at least God will show us how to take a kindly and tolerant view of each and every one. I guess that's called the sick man prayer. I didn't know that then. Before recovery, I was one of those guys who said, God didn't do nothing for me. Jesus never did anything for me. I was the guy that was doing all the hurting. But I was blaming Jesus and God and the church. And when I finally got down, and I'm going to share about this stuff on the 18th. Next week, John will be preaching, and then I'll get another turn after that. But I'm going to share about how I came into recovery. Kicking and screaming. I didn't want to have anything to do with God. Not at all. But this sick man prayer. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man, how can I be helpful to him? God, save me from being angry. That will be done. How many of us have it together enough to pause in the middle of that hurt and pray for that person? Pray for the person that hurts you. Remember, it wasn't Jesus. You need to know that when you hurt, Jesus hurts too. When you have pain in your life, when you have struggles and you're hurting, when someone has hurt you, when someone has offended you, when someone has taken something from you, maybe you've lost someone and you thought that was just a little bit too early. Jesus hurts too. If you turn to John 11, it's the story of Lazarus. I hear a lot of Bibles flipping. They got used to using their phones, and I like it. All right, John 11, we're going to read this, and I've kind of got it broke down where we don't have to read the whole story, but I want to point out a few things. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in the town of Bethany where Mary and her sister Martha lived. Mary was the woman who later put perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. Mary's brother was Lazarus, the man who was now sick. So Mary and Martha sent someone to tell Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. I underline that. When Jesus heard this, he said, the sickness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God to bring glory to the Son of God. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then Jesus said to his followers, let's go back to Judea. Now I want you to skip on over to verse 20. Verse 20 says, When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. So why do you think that Mary might have stayed home? What'd you say?
She was pissed.
She was mad at him. She was mad at Jesus. See, the next thing it says, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. He didn't make it in time. He stayed a couple of more days where he was at before he got there. Mary was mad at Jesus. Did Jesus cause Lazarus to die? No. But she was mad at him. If you go down to verse 32, Mary comes to her senses. But Mary went to the place where Jesus was. When she saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you have been here, my brother would not have died. And I wrote out to the side, really what that says is, Jesus, you hurt me. Jesus didn't have anything to do with that. We die. But she was expecting him to save him. I know there's a lot of people that's been in that predicament. I know my mom prayed for years for me to come up out of that addiction. And I never did. So what I'm seeing in this is like, if my mom would be mad at Jesus because he didn't answer that prayer for years. He finally answered that prayer. So let's read on. When Mary went to the place where Jesus was, she saw him and she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw Mary crying and the Jews who came with her also crying, he was upset and he was deeply troubled. He asked, "Where did you bury him?" She said, "Come and see, Lord," they said. And then in verse 35, Jesus cried. Jesus cried. Now I want you to go and read the rest of that if you don't know that story. Jesus goes to where they buried him, and he tells him, "Get up, get out of here, come on out." And he comes on out. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. But that's not the point I'm making tonight. The point I'm making tonight is he cried. When you hurt, he hurts also. When you hurt, he hurts also. Why? Because he loves us. Amen. Because he loves us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I don't believe that song has ever hit me that hard. I believe it now. He loves me. He loves me or I wouldn't be here. He loves you or you wouldn't be here either. I know many of your stories. I know many of your stories. Thank God for Jesus. The last time I was up here, I got to say this name right, I talked about a lady named Janie Tinklenburg. I kept waiting for a response from Pete. Janie Tinklenburg. She was the one who started the grassroots movement, WWJD. And when I talked about that last time, I said, wouldn't it be cool if Serenity Church had WWJD bracelets? Well, John went straight to the house and purchased WWJD bracelets with Serenity Church on them. To remind us how much Jesus loves us, we have this bracelet. I got some guys that are passing out those bracelets. And along with that bracelet, there's a prayer. And for the next year, this is going to be our theme throughout the next year for our sermon series. What would Jesus do? And so we're going to talk about Jesus the entire year. Whoever's up here preaching, it'll be about Jesus. And we're going to try to stick to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Gospels. But as I was looking at this bracelet, and several years ago, and listen, I want you to take more than one because I want you to give one to someone and bring them to church with you. I didn't get that memo. So if you got one, get another one. Give it to someone and bring them to church with you. Okay, this is your icebreaker. This is your icebreaker. I got something for you, and I want you to come to church with me. Okay? But as I was writing this down and looking at this bracelet, WWJD, I was like, okay, what would Jesus do? I'm not sure I'm not Jesus. There's a lot of times that what Jesus would do is not what I would do. So I don't know exactly what Jesus wants me to do. So I'm looking at WWJD and I'm not clear on what he wants me to do. So I need to pray. And so, like I said, several years ago, we had a church prayer that we prayed together that John introduced. And we prayed that thing for 40 days. Well, I'm going to ask you to pray this throughout the year. I believe we need this throughout the entire year. When this bracelet wears out, when it breaks, we've got a lot of them. Come get another one. Come get another one. And every time that you see this, WWJD, I believe you have the prayer in your hand now. Could you say it with me? WWJD, Jesus, show me what to do. Jesus, prepare me for what is next. Jesus, bless my neighbor as you bless me. Amen. It's not very long. It's easy to remember. I've been practicing it all week. I got it right here already, and I'm not very smart.
Amen.
Hey.
Hey, me neither.
So, I want you to pray and meditate on this prayer. I'm going to ask you to spend some time quiet. On your knees. I'm pretty bad about that. The only time I get on my knees is when I'm really struggling with something and I want him to hear me. He hears me anyway. But there's something about getting low. And if you feel like you need to lay down and get quiet, I want to ask you to maybe turn off your phone. Unplug. I want you to pray for this church in the next chapter, this next year, for Jesus to prepare us for what is next. Show us what to do and bless us. Pray for people in recovery, that they get it, that they understand Jesus loves them and that's the way to the freedom that we're looking for. And then the last scripture that I want to leave you with tonight is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only Son, that who believes in him will not perish, but live forever. Will y'all pray with me? Lord in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, who gave his life for us so that we may live forever. Jesus, show me what to do. Jesus, prepare me for what is next. Jesus, please bless my neighbors as you bless me. Amen.